That's Occupy Wall Street Radio, heard here 6:30, half past the hour, right after the WBAI Evening News Monday through Friday. You are tuned to listener-supported, commercial-free community radio WBAI in New York, FM streaming at WBAI.
Is supported by
Tie-Dye Everything, specializing in locally made tie-dyed items, incense, and other accessories. Tie-Dye Everything is located behind Mikey's at 527 South Main Street in Moscow. You can also find Tie-Dye Everything at tie-dye-everything.com. KRFP is also supported by
Ponderosa Rentals, providing quality home rentals since 2006, including 3- and 4-bedroom apartments and houses. For more information, you can reach Isaac at 208-882-6442 or Ponderosa Rentals at hotmail.com.
KRFP, Moscow.
And you are listening to KRFP Moscow. Nice to be with you here on a Wednesday afternoon. We're getting ready to transition into the Wild Clearwater Country Show, and we have an exciting program here for you on deck. But first, let's take a look at the weather. Certainly been a little cooler over the past couple days. So tonight, showers likely with a possible thunderstorm, mostly cloudy with low around 39 degrees tonight. Winds out of the west between 7 and 14 miles an hour, gusting as high as 21. Chance of precip tonight, 60%. Tomorrow, 40% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 55. Winds out of the west at 9 miles an hour. Thursday night, 30% chance of showers before 11 p.m. Mostly cloudy with low around 42 on Thursday night. Friday, 20% chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 64. Winds out of the east between 16 and 20, gusting as high as 29 miles an hour on Friday. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 40. Saturday, weekend is right around the corner. 30% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a high near 59. Saturday night, 30% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with low around 41. Sunday, 30% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a high near 59. And then Monday, which is a holiday, 20% chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 62. So all in all, a little bit cooler. Certainly post-Moscow Renaissance Fair, the weather was just gorgeous. If you like 80 degrees and blue skies, we certainly had it what seemed like for a good 8-9 days. And, well, that has kind of flipped the script, so to speak. And now we're settling back into some cooler temperatures, and it looks like it'll stay that way throughout the weekend. So we'll take it as it comes. Want to remind everyone that here on the Wild Clearwater Country Show, the views expressed on the Wild Clearwater Country Show are those of the individuals speaking during the show and not necessarily those of KRFP Radio Free Moscow or other organizations. Let's see here. We have been, we've got a whole bunch of guests coming up on the Wild Clearwater Country Show over the next 4 or 5 weeks. Next Wednesday, that is May 30th, we're going to have the Great Old Broads for Wilderness, specifically the Palouse Broadband, which is the local chapter of the Great Old Broads for Wilderness. I believe we'll be having Cindy Magnuson and Ashley Lipscomb join us in studio here to talk about some of the issues that the Great Old Broads for Wilderness are working on. And we certainly will talk about in depth, we'll be discussing the Great Old Broads for Wilderness Broadwalk that's occurring this August 2nd to August 6th at the Wilderness Gateway Campground just off of U.S. Route 12. So that'll be a fun interview. Again, that's next week, May 30th. The following week, we're trying to line up Sam Mace, who was a salmon advocate with the group Save Our Wild Salmon. We want to see if we can get Sam on the radio. So that tentatively would be Wednesday, June 6th, but right now it's an open slot. Then on Wednesday, June 13th, we're still lining up the guests, but we're going to have someone join us here, most likely in studio, to talk about the endangered Palouse Prairie ecosystem, along with this giant Palouse earthworm specimen that was just discovered recently, in fact, by a KRFP board member, Cass Davis, who is also a Friends of the Clearwater member. So Wednesday the 13th of June, we're going to talk about Palouse Prairie and earthworms. And that will coincide very conveniently with a Thursday, June 14th field trip up to Paradise Ridge. And details of that field trip are still being hammered out. But it's going to be an after-school trip, so to speak, after work, after-school trip for the adults. And we'll go up on Paradise Ridge sometime after 5 o'clock, and we'll hang on up there for a couple hours and hopefully have some botanists join us, maybe some ecologists, maybe some soil scientists from the university. We'll see, but we're going to try and put together an action-packed three-hour Paradise Ridge field trip with a focus on the Palouse Prairie and the endangered ecosystem that it is, and also the giant Palouse earthworm and how that fits into what's left of the native Palouse ecosystem. And then the third part of that program will be focusing on all the beautiful native plants and flowers, wildflowers that are in bloom across the prairie as well as up on Paradise Ridge. So we'll see. Hopefully we'll have a pretty good radio show on the 13th of June. Then June 20th, Wednesday, June 20th, we've been able to line up the Buffalo Field Campaign. Certainly, Friends of the Clearwater was very excited about having co-sponsoring along with a number of student groups at the U of I, a Buffalo Field Campaign outreach program that was conducted. Boy, I think it was back in February at the University of Idaho. We had Mike Meese, one of the founders of Buffalo Field Campaign, come in. We had Good Shield Aguiar open up as a musician, and then we showed the latest documentary on the hazing and or killing of wild buffalo in and around, or rather outside and around Yellowstone National Park. And then Mike Meese was able to join us towards the end of that event and addressed everyone. Well, we thought it'd be pretty neat to bring Buffalo Field Campaign back in the community, so to speak, but this time via radio, particularly on the heels of another hazing production brought to you by the Montana livestock industry. But there was one slight difference this year, or one slight important factor that ended up coming through, and that was a TRO, a temporary restraining order, that was issued by a judge in Montana on behalf of the Alliance for the Wild Rockies, certainly AWR, or Alliance for Wild Rockies, out of Helena, Montana. You can call them our sister group, Friends of the Clearwater's sister groups, one of our very close allies, in other words. And Mike Garrity and AWR, we've had them here as a guest on the Wild Clearwater radio show, particularly to talk about things like the Northern Rockies Ecosystem Protection Act. But in this case, the Alliance for the Wild Rockies filed for and received a temporary restraining order, not so much because of the helicopter hazing that was occurring to try and get the buffalo off of the National Forest, which are public lands, and back into Yellowstone National Park. The TRO was not issued because of that, even though from a common sense perspective, you would think that that type of action or activities would not be warranted or allowed, but it is allowed. I mean, the Park Service is part of it. The Montana livestock industry is a part of it. The Montana Fish and Wildlife and Parks is a part of it. And then some other groups. But the TRO was issued because the fact that grizzly bears are occupying the same habitat, similar habitat, on the national forest lands where the bison are grazing right around this year, which is no surprise. Since the grizzly bears are protected under the Endangered Species Act, dropping a helicopter down within I don't know how many feet of the actual ground, it causes quite a disturbance, not only to bison and to grizzly bears, but just really the entire ecosystem, the entire landscape there. So hats off to Alliance for the Wild Rockies and the Buffalo Field Campaign and the others that are working hard to put an end to the hazing of the wild bison on public lands around this time of year. We'll get into that issue deeper when we have someone with the Buffalo Field Campaign on the show. So they're going to be a guest on Wednesday, June 20th, so we're certainly looking forward to that. And then on Wednesday, June 27th, speaking of predators and hazing and you know, killing and livestock industries, we're going to have Brooks Fahey with Predator Defense on our radio show Wednesday, June 27th. Predator Defense is out of Portland, Oregon, I believe, unless they're out of Eugene, but I want to say Portland. And really excited about having them on our show. Predator Defense has been spending a lot of time lately, and possibly for a much longer time, working on exposing what Wildlife Services does in America. And Wildlife Services, in a nutshell, is pretty much the federal government's branch. It's their killing arm. It's their hitmen. And the Wildlife Services, you may be familiar with some of their work here in Idaho, particularly in the Upper Loxa area, most recently gunning down 14 wolves on behalf of the Idaho Fish and Game Department. Well, Predator Defense works on a number of issues. Specifically, they've been working a lot lately on garnering greater protections for the gray wolf. But I know Brooks Fahey has certainly, in Predator Defense, has been making a lot of YouTube videos lately on some of the horrors that go along with wildlife trapping, and some of those stories that they've been able to expose via YouTube videos, and doing a lot of work to try and bring down Wildlife Services. Certainly, the Sacramento Bee published a really, really eye-popping three-part series Wildlife Services are, who they are, how they get their funding, and who do they primarily serve. And when you read those articles, you just shake your mind, you know, you just shake your head back and forth and say, wow, I can't believe that my tax dollars are going to pay for this wildlife killing program on public lands. So it's really important work. So we're excited to have Predator Defense on in the lineup. So again, next week, Palouse Great Old Broads for Wilderness. The following week, hopefully we're going to have Sam Mace with Save Our Wild Salmon. If not, it's up for grabs. The 13th of June, we're going to do a special on the Palouse Prairie ecosystem and Palouse Earthworm. We'll have a guest here in the studio to be determined. The 20th of June will be Buffalo Field Campaign, and then the 27th of June will be Predator Defense. And then before you know it, it'll be July. So we'll take it one month at a time. So nice to be with you here. You're listening to the Wild Clearwater Country Show. You're listening to KRFP Moscow. And I'm going to take a short music break. And then when we get back, we're going to talk about the brand new website that Friends of the Clearwater is on the verge of launching, thanks to Buffalo Girl Productions. And then we'll also get deeper in. As we get deeper into the show, we're going to talk about the grizzly bear and cub that were shot just very recently up in northern Idaho. And then we'll probably close out the show with a very important section on the Sportsman's Heritage Act. And so we'll break all that down for you and let you know why you need to contact your senator or congressman about the Sportsman's Heritage Act and why that bill needs to be killed. So there you go. Thank you for listening to the Wild Clearwater Country Show. Let's take a short music break. Thank you. And welcome back to the Wild Clearwater Country Show. Great to be with you here on a Wednesday. Let's jump right into the lineup here. I wanted to talk with you about the new website that Friends of the Clearwater is getting ready to launch. Certainly we owe a big, big thank you, although the work is not done. And in many ways, it will never be done because you got to maintain a website. But it's been a long time in the making. Buffalo Girls Productions was hired by Friends of the Clearwater. It's been over 2 years. Not since we hired Buffalo Girls Productions, but since we hatched the idea of creating a new website and then having to go through what many nonprofits have to do. You have to go through your board of directors for approval. Then you have to find funding. Then you have to actually do the hiring and then start creating the new material and implementing the website. So a little bit over 2 years later, we are just about done. And so I wanted to tell you a little bit about this new website. It will be the same www.friendsoftheclearwater.org, but this website is going to have a lot more information about Wild Clearwater Country. And so what type of information are you wondering? Well, first of all, it's going to have a very large section dedicated just to Wild Clearwater. And it's going to have individual descriptions of every roadless area in the Clearwater Basin. Along with those descriptions will be some very slick GIS mapping, along with some very colorful digital photography. So each roadless area will have its own description, its own GIS map, along with pictures. Then within this Wild Clearwater section is going to be a subsection about designated wilderness. Not only does it have individual write-ups on the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness, the Gospel Hump Wilderness, and the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness, but it also has a bunch of information about the Wilderness Act itself and how you can learn more about the concept of wilderness and why it's important that we protect wilderness here in the 21st century. Another subsection of the Wild Clearwater section of the new website is going to be dedicated to research natural areas. Certainly there are Boy, I want to say there's somewhere between 15 and 20 research natural areas in the Clearwater Basin. And so each research natural area will have a short description along with colorful pictures and ways that you can find out more about research natural areas. Research natural areas are also classified as areas of critical environmental concern by the Bureau of Land Management. And while most of the federal public land within the Clearwater Basin is managed by the Forest Service, there are some parcels out there managed by the Bureau of Land Management. So let's see here. We got the roadless area subsection, the designated wilderness area, the research natural areas subsection. Then we're going to have a whole subsection dedicated to the watershed, which is really the lifeblood, in my opinion, of the Clearwater Basin. So we're going to have unique, colorful descriptions on wild and scenic rivers like the Lhoksaw, like the Selway. We're going to have descriptions on the whole North Fork of the Clearwater drainage and some of its important tributaries like Cayuse Creek or Kelly Creek. There's going to be information in this watershed subsection about the history of the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act of 1968 and then the national or the Wild and Scenic River System that was established. So for the first time, because I don't think we had anything, we had much to say about the water, the rivers, the streams, in our previous website. So this whole new watershed subsection, I'm really excited about. Another subsection within the Wild Clearwater section of the website is on native species, whether it's wolverines or gray wolves or steelhead or Rocky Mountain elk. Each species is going to have a colorful picture along with a very interesting write-up description about some of the physical characteristics of the native species, some of their habitat requirements, along with some of their range, which is their distribution, where they go to and from. And so certainly looking forward to having a native species section. And then the last subsection within the Wild Clearwater section is the culture and heritage section. And when that is completed, it should have write-ups not only on the Northwest Passage Scenic Byway, but also on the Nimiipuu, which are the Nez Perce people, along with the Lewis and Clark National Historic Trail. So we're really excited about presenting all of this information in the website. An entire section of its own of the website will be on the Northern Rockies Ecosystem Protection Act, which is NEREPA, which is legislation in Congress right now that you need to be aware of if you're not. Not only would NEREPA protect all the remaining roadless wildlands in the Clearwater Basin, or Idaho for that fact, it would protect all 20 million remaining federal public wildlands as wilderness and include them into the National Wilderness Preservation System. So we have a whole section of the website dedicated to the Northern Rockies Ecosystem Protection Act. And then your typical type stuff. Programs, the work that the Ecosystem Defense Department does, the Education Outreach Department, how to contact us, how to follow us on Facebook, our newsroom. That's an interesting concept I'll touch on real quickly. The newsroom section of the website, you are going to be able to listen to the Wild Clearwater Country Show in your living room or at your home on your own time through your computer. If you miss us live on the radio, you can tap into the archive. So that's really exciting. We'll just have a little audio stream player there. So if it's a Thursday afternoon, you're like, oh, I missed the show yesterday. Oh, let me go on the new website, www.friendsoftheclearwater.org. I'll go to the newsroom section, and then I'll scroll down, and I'll see the Wild Clearwater Country Radio Archive. Woohoo! Also in that newsroom section, we'll have all of our news releases, a whole archive full of our news releases, all of the big biweeklies that we publish, which is our email communication. And then last but not least, all of our quarterly newsletters, our Defender, will now be electronic. Although we still are mailing them to our membership, you certainly can download and read a copy of our quarterly newsletter as well, right there on the site. So all in all, really excited about it. It should be happening within the next 2 weeks. At least that's the goal, possibly sooner, possibly a little bit longer. But after a couple years in the making, Friends of the Clearwater is thrilled to be working with Buffalo Girls Productions on launching this brand new Friends of the Clearwater website. So, All right. Now, it's 4:26. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a short little, one more short music break here. And then when we get back, we're going to jump into this whole grizzly bear mess up in North Idaho. And it looks like poaching took place. But I want to read the article. I want to get grounded a little bit. I'm going to share you with some stuff. There's a grizzly bear article here in the High Country News. We're going to talk about the endangered species, the different distinct population segments that occur throughout the Northern Rockies regions, and where they're located. And so do not touch that dial. We're going to talk about grizzly bears next. You are listening to Wild Clearwater Country Show, KRFP, Moscow. And welcome back to the Wild Clearwater Welcome back to the Wild Clearwater Country Show. Sorry for a little bit of the noise there. Let me turn this up just a tad and wanted to talk about grizzly bears. For those of you that are unaware, apparently there was a grizzly bear and a cub was found shot in North Idaho. This is just hot off the press here, coming out of the Spokesman Review. Black bear hunting season is currently open in Idaho, but hunters may not shoot grizzly bears and may not shoot black bears with cubs. A $10,000 reward is being offered for information leading to the person who shot a grizzly bear and her nursing cub in North Idaho. The dead adult grizzly was discovered last Friday morning by a hiker on Hall Mountain in Boundary County, which is northwest of U.S. 95. A search of the remote area turned up the dead cub. Both bears appeared to have been dead for several days. The case is troubling because it does not appear to be accidental. The shooting of the cub is especially a callous act that any sportsman would find appalling, according to a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Shooting a cub wouldn't be allowed in any hunting situation. That does not appear to be a case of mistaken identity. Agents for Fish and Wildlife, Idaho Department of Fish and Game are investigating. Grizzly bears are a threatened species in the lower 48 states, and killing one carries a maximum penalty of 1 year in prison with a $100,000 fine. Says here that about 40 to 50 grizzlies are estimated to live in the Selkirk Mountains of North Idaho and Eastern Washington, which is one of five federal grizzly bear recovery areas. One or two bears are killed by humans there in a typical year, usually in cases of self-defense, referring to the Selkirk Mountains there. You know, very troubling, certainly. When you read the newspaper, at least, you know, over the past couple years, you know, following the issues, it's pretty shocking how many grizzly bears we are actually still killing, despite the fact that they're protected under the federal endangered species list. And there's a whole bunch of reasons for people killing grizzly bears still. And probably the two reasons that are used the most is A, self-defense, or B, mistaken identity. And while the latter one certainly can be a large mistake, the former one I do have problems with as well. Proper preparation prevents for poor performance. Now, in this case, when someone is hiking in, let's say in Yellowstone National Park, and they're hiking in what is widely known as grizzly bear territory or habitat, it seems like there's a lot of non-lethal measures and preparation that you can take in advance of entering that country, you know, grizzly country there. And for some, and unfortunately, it doesn't seem like people are preparing themselves enough when they go into grizzly bear habitat. And that leads to the grizzly bear usually being shot and killed in the name of self-defense. In terms of mistaken identity, you may recall that a grizzly bear was shot in the Kelly Creek Roadless area about 5 years ago now, where that was an outfitter that was doing just that, leading a hunt, and his or her client accidentally shot a grizzly bear. What they thought was a black bear. Now, you know, you can haggle back and forth. Well, it was an honest mistake, and maybe it was. But the bottom line is, I think one thing we should all be striving for is to not kill any grizzly bears. And so there are precautionary measures or mechanisms that we can put into place that will prevent any type of mistaken identity. Just like when you were hiking in Yellowstone around this time of year, one of the precautions that you can take is to hike in a large group or to not hike by yourself. Therefore, the chances of you surviving any type of grizzly bear incident greatly increases. One way that we can overcome cases of mistaken identity is not to allow the hunting of black bears in grizzly bear habitat or something similar to those lines. Now, in this particular case, it doesn't seem like this incident has anything to do with mistaken identity, nor does it have anything to do with the fact possibly we don't know of not being prepared and hiking in grizzly bear country and not taking the proper precautions before you head into it. We don't know that information specifically, but from a mistaken identity context, it seems like this was a pretty blatant poaching incident in which not only the grizzly bear, the sow, was it the sow here? Leon shot a grizzly bear and her nursing cub. Yeah, so it was the sow, it was the mama bear. Mama bear was shot along with her cub. So the reason why I'm saying that this could not be, just from a reasonable perspective, could not be a case of mistaken identity. Well, even if you are shooting, if this person, he or she, was hunting a black bear, the rules clearly states that you're not allowed to kill a cub. So you can throw that out the window. What this seems is just some good old-fashioned grizzly bear hating from someone up in North Idaho. And a $10,000 reward. I'm not really concerned about the reward. Certainly, it is an incentive for someone to turn in or contact authorities with the proper information. But let's steer the conversation a little bit into the five federal recovery areas. Now, there's one in the Yellowstone area of Wyoming, okay? There's a second one up in the Glacier National Park area of Montana. Then there is one, let's say here, where did I have it? Okay, so it says here, no, they got the Northern Cascades Grizzly Recovery Area. That is more wishful thinking. I think that is one that's on the fringe right now, but there's only five core ones. You have the Selkirks, then you have the Cabinet Yak, then you have the Northern Continental Divide, which is Glacier, then you have the Bitterroot, at which point that recovery plan was shelved about a decade ago. And then you have the Yellowstone. Now, according to these figures here, and I don't know how accurate they are, it says there's about 500-600 in the Yellowstone area, about 700-800 in the Glacier area, about 30 or 40 in the Cabinet Yak, and then about 20 or 30 in the Selkirks, and then less than 20 in the Northern Cascades, even though that's not official federal recovery area. I don't know of any in the Bitterroots. At least we have not heard. I don't believe there's been an official grizzly bear sighting in Clearwater country for at least 5 years. But one of the thing that's really depressing, it's a crime in many ways, about this shooting incident, what appears to be a shooting incident, a poaching incident, we'll say, up in North Idaho, is that the grizzly bear that was shot in the Kelly Creek Roadless area back in 2007, 2008, when the genetic testing was done on that bear, it was confirmed, I believe it was confirmed that it was from the Selkirk population. And so now we get into migration and biological connecting corridors. And one way for the grizzly bear to come off the federal endangered species list is for the bear to become much more genetically resilient. So in other words, it's got to get from point A to B to C and be able to mate with grizzly bears in other populations so that gene pool can strengthen. And not only will you get more bears that way, but from a biological perspective, from a genetic perspective, they'll be much stronger and more resilient. And all of those factors, or some of those factors that we just discussed there, are reasons how a species can be eventually essentially delisted. So if we have wolves in the Selkirks being poached, and if the Bitterroots are ever going to be a federal recovery area for the grizzly bear, there's two ways grizzly bears will get back into wild Clearwater country. One is just what happened in 2007. I believe it was a male. Doesn't matter if it's a male or a female, but they migrate. They use a biological connecting corridor to go from wherever they were into wild Clearwater country. And then all of a sudden we have a bear. Now that bear needs a mate. Well, that bear can either stay in wild Clearwater country and hopefully wait for another migrating bear to come into wild Clearwater country so that they can mate and have some cubs. The other way, and let me tell you, this will go over like a lead balloon, is federal reintroduction of the grizzly bear into wild Clearwater country. We're not going to touch on that too much, but AKA just what we did with the gray wolves. And, well, that has been an interesting reintroduction effort, to say the least, over the past 15, 20 years now. Definitely has had some peaks and valleys. Right now, it's definitely some valleys. So there's two ways that wolves or grizzly bears can get back into the wild Clearwater country. And so, you know, after looking back on the past 15, 20 years, I think from a socially palatable, politically acceptable recovery mechanisms, it would be great if some grizzly bears could come down, migrate on their own time, using existing corridors from places like the Selkirks to wild Clearwater country, to the Bitterroots. But that will not occur if we have yahoos poaching them and their baby, like what just happened, you know, their cubs, just like up in northern Idaho. So nonetheless, keep an eye. Do us all a favor, or do yourself a favor if you're interested in grizzly bear recovery. Over the next 3-4 months, watch how many grizzly bear articles get poached and or are killed in quote self-defense between now and September. I'm guessing there's going to be, anywhere between another 5-15 bears killed that are either going to be poached or they're going to be killed in self-defense, or the feds will say, well, it's eating too many chickens and we got to whack it. But my point is that it's pretty eye-popping how many bears we continue to kill, and yet on the flip side of the coin, people are saying, when are they going to be biologically recovered? When are we going to be able to delist them? Well, a number of things need to happen before that can take place. And incidents like what occurred just in northern Idaho is not going to make that happen any faster. So our thoughts go out to all the grizzly bear lovers out there. And let's take another short music break. And when we get back, we'll talk about the Sportsman Heritage Act and why you need to be concerned about this legislation. And we'll also give you information on how you can take action. You're listening to the Wild Clearwater Country Show, KRFP, Moscow. Thank you. And welcome back to the Wild Clearwater Country Show, where you can catch us here on KRFP Moscow every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m., where we give you some, where we discuss about regional and local and sometimes even national wildland and wildlife news. And in this particular case, we're going to cover a national issue. And but before we go right into the issue specifically, I wanted to read to you a note that was sent to us by George Nickus, Executive Director of Wilderness Watch. Certainly you might be familiar with George. Not only was he one of our awardees, recipients of an award at the annual meeting, the Friends of the Clearwater annual meeting in November, but we've also been fortunate to have him as a guest here on the Wild Clearwater Country Show. This is what George has to say. Dear friends of wilderness, I've been a wilderness activist for more than 30 years. Never in that time has a bill been introduced, let alone passed in the House of Representatives, that would do so much harm to wilderness. The Sportsman Heritage Act, which passed the House of Representatives on April 17th, not only allows destructive activities like road building, logging, and ATV use that would destroy the physical characteristics of designated wilderness, the Sportsman Heritage Act also places its crosshairs on the foundational underpinnings of the Wilderness Act and its definition of wilderness, which is an area where the earth and its community of life are untrammeled by man, retaining its primeval character and influence, which is protected and managed so as to preserve its natural conditions. Howard Zonizer, the author of the Wilderness Act, described these words as, quote, the definitive meaning of the concept of wilderness, its essence, its essential character, end of quote. More from George here. It is this essential character of wilderness that the supporters of H.R. 49 seek to destroy. We have to stop them. Please send a letter today and please help us spread the word. It may well be the most important letter you will ever write on behalf of wilderness. Thank you, George Nickus, Executive Director, Wilderness Watch. So what exactly, what specifically is George talking about? He's talking about H.R. 4089, which is deceptively named the Sportsman's Heritage Act. And also he's talking about S-2066, which is the Senate version, Recreational Fishing and Hunting Heritage and Opportunities Act. Essentially, this legislation is aimed at repealing the 1964 Wilderness Act. The bill, it says here, the bill is a thinly, this is more from George, the bill is a thinly disguised measure to gut the 1964 Wilderness Act and protections for every unit of the National Wilderness Preservation System. While the language in that bill is a bit different compared, you know, the House bill conferred to the Senate bill, the result would be virtually identical. H.R. 4089, the Sportsman Heritage Act, would give hunting, fishing, shooting, and fish and wildlife management top priority in wilderness. This bill would allow endless, extensive habitat manipulations in wilderness under the guise of wildlife conservation, or it would provide hunting, fishing, and recreational shooting experiences. It would allow the construction of roads to facilitate these uses, and would allow the constructions of dams, buildings, or other structures within wilderness. Specifically, Section 104E-1 strips away the Wilderness Act's prohibitions on the use of motorized and mechanized vehicles, motorboats and aircraft, other motorized equipment, and structures and installations for any activity related to hunting, angling, recreational shooting, or wildlife conservation. As an example, this bill would allow for any hunter, angler, or recreational shooter to drive their ATV in wilderness as long as they were engaged in one of these activities. And if this isn't proof of the pudding here, while the sponsors of the bill have stated that this isn't the law's intent, an amendment to the bill to make certain this wasn't the intent was opposed by the bill's supporters and defeated in a House vote. Now, a little bit more information here on Section 104-E-2. It would waive any requirements imposed by the Wilderness Act for federal public land managers or state wildlife managers for any activity undertaken in the guise of wildlife management. In addition to allowing the construction of roads and unlimited use of motor vehicles, an aircraft. This provision would allow any sort of wildlife habitat manipulation that managers desire to do. So, example, logging would be allowed to create more forage for deer, elk. Reservoirs and watering holes could be bulldozed for bighorn sheep. Lakes and streams could be poisoned, and exotic fishes could be planted to provide more angling opportunities. Maybe this sounds familiar as well. Predator control, including the aerial gunning of wolves in the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness, the Gospel Hump, or the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness would be allowed. So would trapping and poisoning. Basically, there's no limit to what managers can do in the wilderness in the name of wildlife management. And if that isn't enough, the nonpartisan Congressional Research Service points out that because Section 104C of the bill bars the application of NEPA, none of the actions or projects could be contested. So in other words, an environmental impact statement or EA would not be issued. It'd almost be like a categorical exclusion. Says here the bill is backed by the Congressional Sportsman's Caucus, the Safari Club International, and a coalition of hunting and gun rights organizations, including the National Rifle Association. These groups are trying to rush this bill to the Senate floor for a vote as we speak. This is what you can do. You can contact Senator Reid, who's the Senate Majority Leader, and Senator Bingaman, who's the chair of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. Senator Harry Reid, basically Google the Senator Harry Reid. I got his website down here, www.reid.senate.gov. If you want to get in touch with Senator Jeff Bingaman, go to www.bingaman.senate.gov. It says here to ask Senators Reid and Bingaman to oppose H.R. 4089 and Senate Bill 2066 at every step of the way and don't let it pass the Senate. This is all being deceptively named the Sportsman's Heritage Act. And so Friends of the Clearwater certainly is working with Wilderness Watch right now to try and defeat this bill. We need all hands on deck, working on some op-eds, working on action alerts for our membership. And certainly you should start seeing more in the newspapers and more across the national scene as people start wrapping their heads around this very deceptive Sportsman's Heritage Act. So again, call 882-9755, 882-9755. If you want to speak with anyone up in the Friends of the Clearwater office, if you're concerned about this bill or have any questions, certainly you can check out Wilderness Watch. That's wildernesswatch.org. I believe that's the name of their website. They should have a pretty big write-up on it, too. And so certainly one thing about wildland politics is there's never a dull moment. And there certainly is never a dull moment. And, you know, there's good job security with that, too, I guess. but there's a number of other things we'd like to be concentrating on than defeating a bill in Congress that aims to strip the Wilderness Act, which is possibly the most important environmental or conservation law that we have on the books. But such is America in 2012. So, all in all, I want to read you again some of the guests that we're going to be having on the show. We're going to have Great Old Broads for Wilderness, the Palouse Broadband on the show here in the studio next week. The week after, that's up for grabs. We're going to try and bring in Sam Mace, Salmon and Steelhead Advocate with Save Our Wild Salmon. The following week, we're going to have an exciting show about the Palouse Prairie Endangered Ecosystem and the Giant Palouse Earthworm. Then June 20th, we're going to have someone from the Buffalo Field Campaign call in and give us a full detailed report on all the hazing or the hazing that was stopped from the temporary restraining order. So we're looking forward to having them on the radio. And then at the end of the month, June 27th, we'll have Brooks Fahey with Predator Defense. And we'll talk about all of that group's important work to shut down Wildlife Services, which is the killing arm of the federal government on behalf of special interest groups like the livestock industry. So what do you know? Let's give you all a weather report, and then I'm probably going to be getting out of here. Let me just refresh this here. Tonight, showers likely. Mostly cloudy with low around 39. Winds out of the west between 7 and 14. Gusting as high as 21 miles an hour. Chance of precip is 60%. Tomorrow, 40% chance of showers. Mostly cloudy with a high near 55. Winds out of the west at 9 miles an hour. Thursday night, 30% chance of showers. Mostly cloudy with low around 42. Winds out of the north between 3 and 8. Friday, 20% chance of showers. Partly sunny with a high near 64. Winds out of the east on Friday between 16 and 20, gusting as high as 29. Friday night, mostly cloudy with low around 40. And the big long weekend, Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high near 59. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high near 59. And Monday, 20% chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 62. So it is what it is. It's cooled off a little bit. We need the rain. We certainly can use a little bit of it right now. Looks like we might get some of that. If not, if we don't get any rain, the temperatures will be a little bit cooler. So for all you that are heading up into wild Clearwater country this weekend, please be safe. And whatever you do, go wild. And have a great time. Thanks so much for listening. This is KRFP Moscow.
KRFP thanks its donors and underwriters, including
Mikey's Gyros, specializing in Greek and Middle Eastern cuisine such as gyros, falafel, hummus, tabbouleh, and spanakopita, located at 527 South Main Street in Moscow.
You are listening to KRFP Moscow.
Yo, this is the original Daddy Cool Squadron, KRFP Moscow. Yeah, let's go.
Welcome to Between the Lines, presenting news and analysis of critical issues affecting our region, the nation, and the world. This week we present Carl J. Mayer, one of two attorneys representing plaintiffs in a lawsuit challenging the indefinite detention provision of the National Defense